The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. As so often happens, a casual remark from a potential client has touched off one of the major issues I have with my profession, architecture. The potential client said, "I love French country. I don't suppose you're interested in designing a French country home." Now, she was talking about at least a $1 million home and a significant fee to me, the architect. I actually love French country, especially a true French country, and of course I want the commission. What she was reacting to is something I hear a lot, and it's the messages being sent out by the architectural press, which is a nebulous group of people who write about architecture and about housing design, and the AIA, the American Institute of Architects, the professional association for architects, and who is supposed to be, their job is supposed to be encouraging the use of architects and the valuing of architects, within the wider world. Instead, these two groups are sending out the message that architects are aesthetic snobs who believe that cold, stripped-down contemporary is the only style worthy of their attention. And it's very frustrating to me, but this is the message that they send out, and I get fed back from potential clients, is that unless you want a cold, stripped-down contemporary, an architect isn't interested in designing it. I wish these, and I use the word buttheads, I wish they would just shut up and quit doing damage to the majority of architects who don't agree with them. The reality is that most of the potential clients, the public, do not want cold contemporary homes. They want warm, comfortable homes, cozy and nurturing. They want French country, English country, prairie style, craftsmen. They want recognizable styles to say home to them. And they buy traditional homes, and they build traditional homes. The people who do the cold contemporaries, and that's a pejorative word, but the minimalist contemporaries that are featured in the architectural press, those are less than 10% of the market. And in fact, in my area, in North Carolina, they're less than 5% of the market. there are actually thousands of architects, the majority of architects, who design in traditional styles and who love traditional styles, traditional details. I'll speak more later in the show on that. And, you know, and actually later in the show, if you stick around for the second half of the show, I'll talk about French country homes and, you know, what is a true French country home. For now, I'll just say that these architects who design all of these traditional homes that people love and want, they're expert craftsmen, and they design fantastic homes. And in fact, they are far more the real experts, because their focus is on designing homes, and they build up much more expertise in that area. As I've said, less than 10% of buyers want hard contemporary homes, ones that, you know, you see published in the paper and published in magazines and praised by the architectural press. Those contemporary homes are so not in demand that they almost always, and, you know, I stress dollars a lot on my show, because your home is, for most people, their largest investment, and for many people, it's the least understood and, you know, least successful investment. So I stress dollars a lot, and these contemporary homes that the architectural press loves to publish are so not in demand that they almost always resell for less than they cost to build. To me, that's failure. So why do they get all of the publicity? Well, the easy answer is that people like to look at and read about things that are new and different and visually striking. Think about the top clothing designers. When they do a runway show in Paris, they don't show the fashions they're actually going to sell to you in Target. No, they show these striking creations that get publicity. But even as you look at them, you understand that nobody is actually going to buy that dress and wear it down the street. Well, this is the same thing with the architectural press. They show these houses to get, you know, comment, and because they're exciting and new and different. But if those were dresses shown by a top designer, they're the dress that nobody actually will buy and wear down the street or wear to a party. The more specific answer of how this happens has to do with how things get published. The majority of architects work quietly within their own communities. Especially for top residential architects, it's more important to be known at the country club and the private school than it is to be known in architectural circles. Almost all of their work comes from word of mouth, and for that reason, the top residential architects, we tend to be more active in our local community and less active in the AIA, the local level or the national level. To, you know, put it in marketing terms, we socialize with potential clients rather than with other architects. On the other hand, commercial architects gain more from involvement with the AIA, and they tend to be more active in it because it gives them rewards. They also tend to favor more contemporary design. And if you think about it, when you're designing commercial buildings, whether they be office buildings or schools, or anything of that sort. These buildings have a 20-year life. A home, so 20 years, they're built in 20 years, they're either totally remodeled, changed into something different, or they're torn down and replaced. Homes have a 100-year life. When you build a home, you expect and hope that home to be there 100 years from now. And often we even have the belief or the wish that our great-grandchildren live in that home that we built. So a contemporary statement in a commercial building is rewarded. A contemporary statement in a residential, in a home, is not rewarded. Now, that for that reason, the commercial architects are much more focused on commercial, on contemporary work and on striking aesthetics, you know, the stripped down, the wow statement that is often a one-liner. But a one-liner works if you're talking about, you know, designing a restaurant. It doesn't work if you're talking about a home. When these commercial architects do the occasional house, and often the occasional house they do is for themselves, they tend to work with the materials that they use commercially, and they tend to work in the contemporary style that is rewarded in the commercial world. So here you have the commercial architects more involved with the AIA, more involved with the architectural press, and when they design their occasional house, that is a very small part of their business, they tend to use the same materials and the same details that they've learned in their commercial work. Also, the architectural schools. In the architectural schools, the stark sculptural designs get rewarded. Subtle, masterful designs do not. So in the architectural schools, you're rewarded for doing things that are stark, sculptural, wow, out there on the edge. To a great degree, the architectural press never left design school. Almost all of the architectural competitions that you ever hear about are affiliated with or they're directly run by the schools of design, the schools of architecture. In my local case, that's North Carolina State University School of Design, which at one point was considered the top architecture school in the world, back in the days when Buckminster Fuller taught there as well as others. And my son, who has just started out as an assistant professor of architecture at Cornell. And so talking to him about it, in academics, you get recognition for being on the cutting edge and for showing cutting edge work. Well, these are the same people who get recognition for doing cutting edge work and being on the edge are the ones running the architectural competitions and deciding what is printed in the architectural press. And, you know, they are the ones who then bring in, whenever you have a competition of any sort, you want the impartial, out-of-town jury, people who don't know personally any of the people, any of the architects submitting designs. And who do they bring in as this impartial, out-of-town jury? They bring in architects who are recognized in the architectural press and who are recognized for being on the cutting edge. Often, in fact, who are faculty members at schools of architecture, either directly or as adjunct faculty. So you've got a whole process here that feeds on itself. And you can start to understand, if you care, and I do, you can start to understand that how what gets published and what the public is told about architects is led by this group who really are into striking contemporary design that's on the cutting edge, as opposed to the architects who do the actual work in the field and you're actually designing the homes that you want to buy. We're going to go to break, but when we come back from break, I'll dig into this a bit more. And I also promise you, the second half of this isn't a rant on my profession, but is actually talking about French Country.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Here in the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area where I live, it's just became the 24th largest, not metropolitan area, largest market, TV and radio market, 24th largest in the country. So it's a big market. Well, here in this area, there are two highly public efforts to showcase architecturally designed homes. The first of these, the local newspaper, the NNO, News and Observer, which is, because it's in the state capital, the major newspaper in the state, has a feature called the Home of the Month. The Home of the Month, and for this feature, they work with the School of Design at NC State. As I said, most of these things are run in conjunction with this, the schools of design. And with them, they select 12 homes each year. And once a month, run a feature article about one of those homes. Of course, again, they use an impartial out-of-town jury to select which homes to feature. The stated goal of the Home of the Month, the stated goal is to increase the role of the architects in the residential design market and to increase the visibility of architects and to encourage their use in residential design. Because as we all know, the vast majority of homes are not designed by architects. And as I've expressed on this show, the vast majority of homes are probably not all that good. But anyway, typically of the 12 homes selected, and this has been going on for 3 years now, 4 years, of the 12 homes selected, 8 of the 12 are contemporary, stripped down, contemporary homes, stripped down. They have things like metal siding on them instead of brick. And, or one, you know, and typically one of them is an awkward box grafted onto an existing home in a way that is deliberately confrontational to the existing home and to the neighborhood. That's considered striking. And typically another one is a renovation where the house was gutted of all decoration and most of the furniture. And so of the 12 homes selected, 11 of the 12 are in the contemporary realm where, as I've said, most of the public aren't interested. In fact, the reaction to some of them is, my God, I'd never live in that house. This is what the architectural press is telling people architects do. Okay, architects design, real architects, design beautiful homes in every style. And the homes that they show in these things appeal at best to 10% of the market. But I have to do some full disclosure here. I actually have been published in this, and a contemporary home that I did was actually featured as one of the homes of the month. But as opposed to most of them, my home at least fit quietly into the neighborhood. And then when you walked inside, it was wow. And even when it was wow on the inside, it's comfortable. I do believe there is a place, and there are people who like a comfortable contemporary, a warm and cozy contemporary, and I do believe that's possible. So the function of the Home of the Month articles was to encourage the use of architects. And all they selected were cold contemporaries that most people, especially the people with a lot of money, don't want to live in. It's amazing how of these homes they selected, most of them were budget homes under $500,000. And the people you want to encourage to use architects are, you know, most of them north of $500,000. And especially if you want to do $1 million-plus home, we want to encourage architects to design it. Okay. Just how bad... sorry, I'm trying to follow my notes. Just how bad or out of touch are the juries? Well, I think the best example... As you know, I have a house up in the mountains, and design work up there. The work up there, a mountain cabin, is different than a house here on the flatlands. Well, in the past years, they've selected two mountain cabins to be included in this Home of the Month. One of them was a beautiful, picturesque kind of Swiss cabin chateau, a beautiful thing. And it was selected because a client had bought it and the architect had gone in and stripped out the inside. So from this beautiful mountain cabin on the outside, he made the inside look like a minimalist urban loft. That was the mountain cabin they decided to feature. The other one was finished a mountain cabin, and you all have this picture in your mind of a mountain cabin. Okay, the other mountain cabin they featured was finished in bare plywood and concrete block with concrete floors. That house is on the market right now at a really quite high price, and I can't imagine who's going to buy it, and it's definitely going to be at a loss to the person who built it, which, by the way, the person who built it was an architect who built it for himself, a commercial architect. Okay, these choices of what homes to feature, I believe, and as I've read some of them, they make potential clients run screaming from the architects and, you know, and not hire architects to do their homes. So in that respect, I wish they'd shut up. The way the local architect, the local AIA, okay, the second big way that the local AIA, American Institute of Architects, publicizes and encourages the use of architects in the design of homes is with an annual homes tour. I've talked before about homes tour, and I love going on homes tours, especially the historic homes tours. Well, once again, the AIA brought in an out-of-town jury to select which homes to feature, and it was led by an architect who Architecture Magazine had selected as one of the 20 rising stars in the country, which right there tells you it's not for designing cozy traditional homes. The result was that of the six homes selected by the AIA to feature, to say this is what architects do, four of the six homes are boxy contemporaries. One of them with corrugated metal siding and another one with rusted steel siding. This is what we're telling the public we like to design. There's one house that in the 1980s is a 1980s deck house, and that was renovated into a minimalist contemporary. Same theme. And then they did include one renovation of a house in a historic district that was a tasteful, classical renovation and a beautiful job. I think the clients we're talking about would look at that. So they got one out of six houses right for the market. To the many architects who actually design, there are many architects who actually design beautiful classic homes, and they wish the AIA, their own organization, would just shut up. If you're not going to help us, quit hurting us. You know, quit telling the public that we're only interested in cold contemporary, because we're not. When I come back from break, I actually start talking about French country and the ones I've designed and what I love about the style.
Ask the Experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Conservation starts with us. Learn about environmental concerns each week when you tune in to Our Wild World with host Ellie Weiss. Our show centers on Africa each week and what's being done to save our wildlife, ecology, and ourselves. However, we'll also discuss what's going on closer to home. And most importantly, we'll let you know what can be done in our own backyards by featuring guest experts and featuring your questions and answers. Listen every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with host Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. You'll learn about conservation, products, and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipart@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Now let's talk about French country. It seems that architectural styles tend to run in waves. About 10 years ago, I had a wave of French country houses. And those same clients, more recently, seem to have shifted a bit to the east, to the Tuscan region. And perhaps it's the book Under the Tuscan Sky, had some influence on people's dreams. But there seems to be shifts. And you can go with the shifts and enjoy them. That's perfectly fine. A well-designed home will always be popular and always be able to sell. And the more traditional style you have, the safer it is. So anyway, this is what, you know, custom homes, really truly custom designed homes should be. They should be the owner's dream. And the architect is charged with bringing that dream to reality. It's not that you take what we feel like designing. It's that we get inside your head, understand what your dream of home is, and then make it come true. French country is all about dreaming, or a storybook. Of all the styles out there, it really did start most from a storybook idea. There are at least two kinds of French country. I can find more, but there are two that are well recognized. One of those is the genuine country homes of France that usually started off as modest structures, you know, a modest farmhouse and farm buildings around it. Maybe a small barn, a shed, a granary. These would be clustered close together for security. And then, and they were very kind of utilitarian structures. The charm was made up of the clustering and the total kind of picture of these somewhat utilitarian structures. Over time, as a family became more prosperous or they tried new ventures, more simple structures would be added to this, and it started to take on this very pleasing form. That's a genuine home or former farm from the French countryside. If you think about it, lately we have had a trend in furniture and accessory design that is from this real French country, or they'll publicize and call it Provence. And these become very popular, you know, the kind of hutches or chairs that look like they've been weathered and beaten up for years, and the accessories that look like they were once used on a farm and now 100 years old and are hanging on your wall. The Pottery Barn has made a lot of money doing this real French country look. I've designed a few homes in this French country, and the most extreme of these was really extreme. It was a lady who came to me, and I think I've talked about her before, and she had a stack of books, cutouts about 9 inches tall of all of her ideas for her home. What she wanted was a French farmhouse from the Provence region that was 200 to 400 years old, and that had, as they did, kind of grown over time. And she'd spent a decade collecting old stuff to go in it. Windows, doors, kitchen sinks, anything that could be old was old. And, you know, and this got to an extreme because when the stucco guys were working on the exterior of the house, she would go and pour honey in the stucco so that when it was up on the wall, it would grow mold and look old. She would go and finish a first layer in one color and then the top layer in another color and then hit it with hammers so that some of the top layer would flake off. This is extreme, but if you look at the furniture Pottery Barn is selling, that's just what they're doing to the furniture. And she'd get even more so. She'd go in at night after the sheetrock guys had finished on their work on the inside, and she'd go in and mess it up. It really got very upsetting to the workers when they'd come in the morning and discover that she'd messed up their perfect job. So, French country is a story. And more than about any other style, it is a story. It is a dream. The other French country is a deliberate story. The French nobility went out to the countryside and they built country homes or hunting lodges that were deliberately storybook, fairy tale pictures. And the most famous of these was created for Marie Antoinette at Versailles. And I've talked about this, where Versailles was the French king's country house that was so big and grand that they then built the Petit Trianon, another smaller palace, to get away from the country house, their getaway from the getaway. And Marie Antoinette then built a little village that thatched roof cottages that was her escape into a fantasy storybook world. And that's what the French country homes were for the nobility. At the same time, the French country that the nobility built, while they were charming and whimsical and with lots of quaint touches and window boxes and shutters and little balconies, at the same time, these were the nobility, and they were competing for a pecking order in the system. In fact, in the French king, the French nobility, there was incredible competition for a pecking order because there's only one guy at the top, the king. And everybody fought to see how close they could get to him. So the French couldn't leave nobility, couldn't leave things well enough alone and just have quaint storybook houses. They had to add lots of grand gestures. Big circle top windows, towers, imposing entrances. At the same time, they were trying to make these look cute and storybook. They also wanted people to know that they were important and that the people in them were important and had a lot of money. The original French country home had that I talked about, that started out as the farmhouse, has a randomness of form, a haphazard collection of things built over time. The French country of the nobility has instead a charming completeness about it, a completeness of form. It tells a whimsical story, but the story is fully told by a master storyteller. Meaning in architecture, there's architectural design, there's rhythm, order, symmetry, and balance. The French country of the nobility were complete, beautiful canvases, beautiful pictures of rhythm, order, symmetry, and balance. And when we come back from break, I'll talk about an actual French country house, just for a change.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
It's all about action.
Touchdown!
Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
He's broken loose. He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle. Whether it's basketball.
Off the glass.
Football.
Come on.
Golf. Racing. Or the Olympics. We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. Tune in to the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipart@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H @yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
I've designed a number of French country homes over the years. And every client who has talked to me about French country home, except for the ones that truly want just the, well, actually even the ones who truly want just the farmhouse, the natural French country, has begun by mentioning Jack Arnold. Jack Arnold is an architect in Oklahoma who has designed some beautiful, grand, and expensive French country homes. About 20 years ago, he put out a booklet of these homes and sold it through ads in society magazines like Country Living and ladies magazines like Better Homes and Gardens. And, you know, and what he is doing is selling is a plan service, and you can buy the plans to these homes, or he can custom design a home, you know, modify one of them. Well, Jack Arnold's homes look great, and they've really inspired a lot of people to think about French country. They look great, and they are just top examples of the nobility's French country. I always hear from people, from the people who come to me, and they come with a number of different ideas, but if they want French country, they tend to always also have his book and point at some of the pictures in there. And I always hear that I want my house to look from them. I want my house to look just like a Jack Arnold home. But Jack Arnold designs for moneyed people. And this is, well, his houses tend to be, to live formally, be very formal houses. If you've ever watched the show The Gilmore Girls, that was on a few years ago, think of the grandparents in The Gilmore Girls. They would live in a Jack Arnold home. What the people come to me and they talk about is they want something that looks like that. Beautiful French country. The complete picture, fully realized. But they want a comfortable, livable home with the character that he's put into his houses. Now, I've always said that an architect, a good architect, can design a home in any style to match any plan. So we do two things, or three things. One is we look at the lot and we design a home that works with the lot. The second, and maximizes the potential of the lot. The second is we talk to the people. And we design the home they want to live in. The, you know, for their family, how they live. And quite often in my homes, I've talked about the great room kitchen concept, the how you can make homes more friendly and livable and how they can bring people together. It's as opposed to, and I think the Jack Arnold homes tend to push people apart. But the architect designed a home that brings people together and nurtures the family. Then thirdly, we give you the image of home that the owner wants. So on this house that fits the lot and maximizes the lot, that fits the family and is warm and nurturing and the way they want to live, we then can impose on that French country and give them either the down-home French country or the grand, gracious French country look. And this is what I think, you know, a good architect can do. And much better, alluding to the first part of this thing, much better than you get from a residential designer or from a draftsman. So we're experts at our craft. Well, here's a story about, oh boy, it's been 10 years, but this couple came to me and they just had, they had a house designed by another architect in a gated community, and it was a disaster because the architect didn't listen to them, and it's all the things that go wrong and all the bad stories about architects. He was run out of town. He very quickly left, and you want to look for the architects who have a long history of successful homes. So they came to me, and with the Jack Arnold book, and with the, we like this, this, and this, but we, you know, we really don't like his plans. And which, as I said, I've heard a few times. So we set up a house for them. It is a beautiful storybook French country home. And I'm trying to think, speaking, how to convey it. If you had the Jack Arnold book in front of you, you could see the pictures. But it's got the highlight of the house on the front is this kind of story and a half gable-roofed dining room with a huge window that rises up 15 feet on the front of it, and then a very tall, steep roof that swoops down and then at the end kind of flicks out in characteristic style. And to make that more whimsical even, on the one side, it swoops almost all the way down to within a couple feet of the ground as the roof swoops out. Beside that is the grand entryway with heavy timber done in a classical form, stacked up with a couple of arches. And when I think of French country or any home, you want some wow to it, but you're also trying to create at least in this case, a cottage feel. So we gave him one grand room. The dining room on this, if you think of a miniaturized version of the grand hall in the castle, you know, it's tall, high ceiling with the peak ceiling and the beams, this big window on the front, and a room that is oversized for its purpose. If a standard dining room is 15, 17 feet long by 14 feet wide, well, this is 22 feet long by 16 feet wide. So it has an extra grandness to it, both in the length and the width and the height, an extra grandness and scale to it. And one really neat thing, French country is about whimsical elements and play. So I added a Juliet balcony, just such a neat thing. And if you picture a dinner party in there, and the little kids, you've been sent up to bed, up there on the balcony, hiding behind the rails, you know, looking down on what's happening. Or if this were true French country house of nobility, you'd have a couple violinists up there playing for the dinner. That's the grand space. Then you walk into a center hall that is good size, but not imposing, and with a very articulated staircase. And I love to do a wrap of windows, a bay of windows wrapping up the stairs to the second floor, all with also a kind of tightness to it. This is a cottage. Off of that is a series of rooms that one of the things I really believe in is that even in small houses, you create long views. And I created from the foyer, the center hall, a series going through a series of spaces that release out a window at the end. So even in this cottage, you have a 60-foot view. In this case, the living room is actually a very quaint, cozy study. They didn't want an actual living room, but it's a quaint, cozy study, and the access to foyer then to a master bedroom that has its own sitting area and bed area. The first show I did was called Romancing the Home. Talked about the idea of in the master bedroom having a sleep chamber, defining an area of the master bedroom that is special and for sleeping. Doesn't have a TV, doesn't have distractions. It's focused on the bed. And even in this French country home, I actually introduced, and I'm running out of time, you can do beautiful homes. You know, don't listen to the architectural press. You can do beautiful homes in any style. If they're done by an architect, they're more likely to be done to a higher level of quality and to be a better investment. So next week, I'll come back and I'll tell you about this homes tour. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope these are beautiful homes that are really proud that an architect did them. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.